Unfortunately, after her statement in the House, she then walked straight into another row about how many other buildings were covered in the flammable cladding which might have been responsible for the fire's devastating spread. In the wake of the disaster, there have been questions about the government's attitude to social housing. To paraphrase the social researcher Richard Titmuss, will housing for the poor always be poor housing? And has our relentless focus on house prices and home ownership led to politicians neglecting the estimated 8.6 million households who rent? I was joined in the studio by Laura Pidcock, the new Labour MP for North West Durham, and Susan Emmett, head of the Housing and Urban Regeneration Unit at the right-leaning think tank Policy Exchange. I began by asking Laura Pidcock what lessons there were from the Grenfell disaster.
I think the Grenfell disaster typifies what's happened to the gentrification of inner cities. I think that it's really important to hear the grieving and to respect that people are still really raw and pained over what happened there. But those calls should have been heard earlier. And I think there's been a perception about social housing that it's the bottom of the pile, that it's actually where you go if you're last in the queue, that it's not anything that somebody should aspire to live in a community-owned asset, something that you're proud of, that builds communities, that actually it's somewhere to go if you're the poorest of the poor.
Susan Emma, if you had a magic wand and maybe even a magic money tree,
oh goodness,
how would you improve the social housing in this country?
I don't think it's possible, given the limits on funds, because we don't have a magic money tree, to give social housing to everyone. I think we need to be realistic and pragmatic and look at the full range of options: home ownership, social housing, but also more adequate private rented housing and everything in between. So I think we have seen a huge increase in the number of homes delivered over the last 3 years or so, and at the moment most of those are being delivered by private developers. However, you know, we're never going to get to the full amount that we need, either 200,000 a year or even 250,000 a year, which is the more ambitious target, if we simply rely on private developers. So we do actually need to broaden the scope to allow a wider range of developers to compete, to allow housing associations to do more, and also, you know, for councils to return to building either directly or with construction companies.
This is often seen as a kind of London problem, you know, it's a housing crisis, it's actually about London and the South East. That's not true. You were talking about your area of Durham being affected by this in different ways.
In County Durham, there's over 10,000 people on the housing waiting list, and that is because we've seen the systemic attack on social homes. We've seen the disintegration of those as a place that is valued to live in favour of this mantra that you should buy, buy, buy. And actually, there's a whole generation, and I include myself in this, of young people who will never be able to afford the deposit to actually buy a home, not just in London. You know, I know that's completely out of reach for thousands of people, but in North West Durham too, you've got really high rents in the private sector comparable to earnings, and therefore it's just an impossible dream that's kind of sold that we should all aspire to, and it is impossible. And I think it's even people feeling dissatisfied, like they're failures, like they're being left behind, their parents' generation did much better than them. And actually, I think we need a shift our perception of social housing and make it somewhere that we actually really want to live. I would love to be in a council house. I would love that. I would love in my home community where I represent to be in a council house. It's impossible. There aren't enough. So I'm in the private rented sector because even, I know I'm a newly elected MP, even on an MP's salary, because of debts from university, because of money owed to parents and things like that, and because their pension pots aren't much, my mum's a WASPI woman, they are incapable of being able to lend me a deposit to buy a home.
So you're in quite an unusual position. Am I right in saying you're 29?
Yeah.
And you are in the private rented sector, as you say. I think we had figures from the last parliament that said a third of MPs are landlords. So we'd very much have a legislature that's skewed towards people who experience the private rental sector as a source of income primarily, rather than as something where they have to wrestle with estate agents and letting fees, although that was in the Queen's speech, a ban on letting fees.
Yeah, as a private renter, you're at the behest of landlords. So I've had 5 properties in 4 years. That's not atypical of somebody in the private rented sector. And that's not in London. That's in the North East. And I think Grenfell Tower, and I don't want to exploit this for any political purposes, but people that are landlords being able to vote on legislation pertaining to landlords is a massive conflict of interest.
I do agree with Laura. I think we are at a point now where a lot of people can't afford to buy, probably never will, may aspire to it, but realistically they will be in the private rented sector for longer. We desperately need more build to rent. I think one of the problems with the rented sector and the reason why rents have risen quite a lot is that we simply do not have enough rental homes. We need more of them and we need them to be good quality. So I think that's where big investors such as L&G, M&G Real Estate and players such as Essential Living come and play a part. And they're not the whole solution, but they do play a really important part. And I think we need to see more of that kind of thing rather than simply treat every landlord in the country as if they're a terrible rogue.
I would agree with that. But I think where I represent, there are quite a lot of places to rent and those rents are high. I'm quite happy to borrow to invest in housing as a community asset. But also it's about how much do we pay people? Paying people more, giving people more secure and less precarious employment essentially means that they are able to plan, they're able to save, and if they want to, can buy. If not, if there's more council housing, they can apply for that.
Laura Pidcock and Susan Emmett on our skewed attitudes to housing.